Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Mini Crush.
What a pensive and official introduction to today's episode, Chuck.
We got to get it together, dude.
I know.
We're a couple of hacks in here.
What do you mean? What do we do?
Just goofing off and being too loose.
Did we get dinged?
Yeah, we got to get our shit together, man.
Well, I don't understand. I thought this was a beloved show.
No, everyone hates it.
Oh, man.
We got to get our shit together.
All right. So let's reel it back. Let's dial it in. Chuck, what would you like to talk about today regarding the art of cinema?
Fade in.
Yes.
I actually have an outline today. Can you believe that?
Oh, so you're really taking this whole getting your shit together thing seriously?
No, not at all.
All right, that's good. That's good.
I had my daughter throw this together last night.
Very good. How are her verbal skills?
Oh, her verbal skills are great.
Pretty solid?
She's not much of a typist.
No, that's fair. These templates and these, Microsoft Word office suites, they basically do all the work for you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually flattered because you posted a headshot of mine. Somebody did.
I don't know who did that. Somebody did that. As you
yeah.
Were.
Okay. Fair enough, Chuck. I was like, damn. Chuck really did me a solid here. But I found out that I apparently have a nickname in the Movie Crush community, and it's something like Old Velvety Voice or Silky Mouth or something like that.
No, you don't remember anything we ever.
That's not true, Chuck. That's not true. I have a mind like a steel trap, sir.
Yes, like a steel colander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very early. There was some sort of reference to, not Velvet Fog, I don't think.
Okay.
Was it Velvet Fog?
I don't know what that is either.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I thought it was dubbed by the community. So apparently I gave myself this nickname and they're just parroting it back.
Or I may have.
Okay.
But it sticks.
That's cool.
Listen to what we have to say.
That's nice. I like it.
It's funny because you already covered a thing because right here I have Facebook pick Noel equals Beefcake.
Yes. What? Who said that?
Me.
Oh, you said that?
Yeah, dude, Beefcake. People are going nuts.
Well, no, that was nice. It was very nice. But it's so funny, too. People, whenever they see a picture of someone that they have a mental image of, you get two possible responses. What do you think they are, Chuck?
Well, I've been getting that for 11 years, which is
either
exactly like I thought.
Or
you look nothing like that.
Which are like the two possibilities, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to be like,
I'm indifferent to the way you look.
Like your nose looks exactly like I pictured, but yeah. I thought you had blue eyes.
I thought the most specific comment was that they pictured me as being a redhead. And I just, that, why? I don't understand.
Huh? You don't have red hair.
I don't have red hair, why would you extrapolate a voice into a hair color?
Maybe you just exude ginge.
I must. Yes. I must be it. What else you got now that we've ticked that one off the list?
Well, a couple of things, everyone. I've hinted that I was trying to get this big guest, and I didn't want to, jinx it too much, but I got the big guest, Noel.
The one, the yes. aforementioned off-mic
yes.
big guest?
Yes.
Damn.
I know.
Wow.
So, that's all I'm going to say. Very excited about that, everybody.
That's pretty cool, dude.
It is probably a first and only to get a guest of this stature.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Well, you never know.
I'm starstruck just by being in your presence by proxy.
What was it? I saw a dumb thing on internet. It's like
that's like saying off-world, in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, or in Arrested Development when Tony Hale's character used to say army when I was in army.
Yes, when I was in army. Yes.
Emily and I used to think that was so funny.
It's wonderful.
I was in army. What was I even saying?
On internet, you saw something.
Oh, wow. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I saw Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, well, let's do a 5-minute chat about.
It was great.
Yeah, if anyone wants to tune out during the next 3 or 4 minutes while we talk Captain Marvel.
I don't know. We don't even have to spoil it.
No. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was really good, though.
I saw it with my 10-year-old who thought it was great.
Well, that's
infectious. And I thought it was great by proxy.
Sure.
Again, a lot of that going on today. But no, I also 1995 was a big year for me as far as music. And that was the year that she drops into
through the roof
of a blockbuster, which was very 1995.
That was pretty funny.
I remember it even said 5 movies for $9.99. And I remember that deal. I remember that deal, Chuck. I took advantage of that many times. And then next door, there's a record store, and the Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness poster is plastered all over the place. That was huge record for me in that very huge year for me. And the music in the movie.
I hated that album.
Well, you know what, Chuck? I was a total total Billy Corgan fanboy. We've been through this, I think, before. But no, he could do no wrong. And now looking back, I think Siamese Dream and Gish hold up remarkably.
Sure.
That record is spotty as hell. There's a handful of decent songs on it, a handful of garbage. Yeah. What?
I could have told you that back
Yeah,
then.
Well, no, exactly. It didn't need to be two damn discs.
I get it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I put it at like upper middle tier Marvel, which is a good place to be. I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought Sam Jackson and Brie Larson had great chemistry. Like, that was the movie to me, was their relationship.
Do you think they CGI'd him up to make him look younger?
Oh, they definitely did.
They did, because it looked good.
Yeah,
it looked so good. Yeah. Man, they're good at that these days.
And what's his face, too?
Oh, the Agent Coulson or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, they de-aged him.
Interesting.
They're getting pretty good at that, though.
Really, really transparent.
I think the whole key is subtlety.
I think it is. Yep.
And, it, you know, Sam Jackson is sort of age-defying anyway.
That's what I was
thinking. That helped.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Michael Douglas stuff in Ant-Man, a little bit more uncanny.
A little bit.
But still not terrible.
Still pretty good. And it also wasn't the whole movie, though, too, right?
Right.
That was just flashback. This was the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I really, like, I was like, he looks great, but I didn't think he looked fake.
Agreed. Yeah, look like Sam Jackson, like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, totally. And he's so funny. He really gets to, you know, because this is the first one he's really, really, like, featured. He's, like, in the whole movie.
Yeah, he was in a lot of this
movie.
And
he's really funny.
Yeah, it's interesting that Nick Fury is, like, in the MCU, has been this bench utility player.
That's right. Kind of a shadowy dude who sort of pops in at the opportune
Which
moment
is great.
And then pops
like,
out.
But never, like, I don't guess we're ever going to get a Nick Fury movie, are we?
Well, this was kind of his origin story in a lot of ways, because you get to see how he gets
his
scar, which I don't even want to spoil. It's just too good, and I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it was. I tell you what, my other favorite character, though, was that goddamn cat. Like,
of
how
course.
Many laughs did they get out of that cat?
A ton.
It was so funny.
A ton. And it was also like jumping on the whole cat meme wagon type thing with like goofy looking cats doing weird stuff. No, just like, you know, there's so many like memes where there's cats making weird faces or doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's a part where there's like the cats in space floating upside down and kind of making this like cringy face. I don't know. I thought the cat was fantastic.
It was great.
And the cat has a twist, which I don't even think we shouldn't even spoil here.
We should not. I also really enjoyed the relationship between her and was it Maria Rambeau? No,
the actress.
No. What was her first name? Her old Air Force buddy.
I don't remember.
Her last name was Rambeau.
I do remember that.
But it's Rambeau,
right? Like the poet,
not like
Rambeau.
Rambeau, John Rambeau.
That's right. No,
but she and her daughter and the relationship with Brie. I thought that was all very sweet.
It was very sweet. I actually saw a couple of things. Maybe it's like overthinking it, but some folks that are wanting Captain Marvel's character to be LGBT because of there's like a perceived kind of relationship between the two women that some people maybe read a little too much into, but
or maybe they read just the right amount.
Maybe they did, and maybe that's something they're going to pursue, which I think
Who
I would
knows?
Be totally behind.
Yeah, she was pretty cool, man. I got to say. Well, I will say this. I love Brie Larson. She didn't fully sell me on the action. Like, I would prefer that they get a really good actor, though, and train them up as best they can rather than get someone who's just can really sell the action who can't act.
How did she not sell you on the action?
It was all right. I mean, like,
what are you talking about? She's punching through a spaceship and like full covered in fire. What more do you want?
I will say this: when the stunt double was doing things, it looked great.
Mm.
When Brie Larson was doing things, I was like,
"Meh, okay."
It was all right.
That's
fine.
That's fair.
Times when she was running, and I was like, "Interesting." So
yeah.
Brie Larson is not super athletic, is what I got.
That's fair.
And it's interesting to cast a superhero from someone who is clearly not super athletic.
You don't think she maybe played lacrosse in college or something?
I don't know. She did good. I'm not complaining, but
that's fair.
It was good. That was my one slight criticism.
Speaking of playing lacrosse in college, not to pivot too much, and this might be something you weren't even thinking about
Felicity
talking
Huffman,
about.
I know.
Right, dude? What the hell? As if we had any doubt that like all these celebrity kids that go to Georgetown and stuff, like of course they're smart enough and did the work.
Yeah,
you know,
it was all academic merit.
No. Didn't they? Wasn't the whole scam? We're talking about this college entrance scam, by the way, folks. Wasn't the whole scam that they were athletes, but they weren't athletes? They brought them
in
as fake athletes?
There were different ways. There was cheating on SATs. There was, since you brought up lacrosse, I think one of them, I don't think it was one of the two celebrities, but part of the program was like, yeah, my kid played lacrosse. And there was like, you don't even have a lacrosse team at your school
mm-hmm.
for one of them. It's disappointing.
It's very disappointing.
What's even going to be more disappointing is if Felicity Huffman goes to jail longer than Paul Manafort.
So you think she's going to go to jail?
I don't know, dude.
Is it that serious?
I mean, the FBI showed up at her house with guns.
But isn't it like, aren't her parents complicit as well? Like, is this something like?
No, they didn't arrest the daughter. They arrested Felicity Huffman.
Oh, no. Felicity Huffman did this for her kids.
Yes.
I see.
Who do you think she did it for?
I thought
William H. Macy?
I'm sorry, I thought that maybe she got into college through this kind of thing back in the day.
No, it was the parents that were
reading. Makes sense.
In fact, I don't even know if the kids knew.
That makes sense.
Which is, you know.
Okay. Well, I obviously didn't read too far past the first paragraph. Sorry, Chuck. Thanks for schooling me. But still, goodness, it's a—
TLDR, Noel.
I know, dude. That's my middle name.
But they didn't arrest William H. Macy, and they said that he was in on it, so I don't know if there are charges coming against him.
Interesting. Or maybe there's more severe versions of it.
And they may try and make an example if they get some conservative judge that are like these Hollywood elites or are gaming the system, you know?
Yeah. Again, like you said, disappointing but not particularly surprising.
Well, I mean, there are 1,000 ways to cheat the system when you have money, whether it's – this is straight up cheating, but like the donation in your name to build the new gymnasium
totally.
From the rich guy also gets your kids into school.
It sure does.
But that's okay.
Right. Right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, what else you got, Chuck?
Well, I think we should get started with the show in earnest.
Okay.
Here at Minute 80.
11:26.
Okay. We always have to catch up, though, you know?
Oh, it's nice.
So we're going to start it off, everybody, by popular demand with Trope Time. So if I'm not mistaken, what I have to do is go over to the Movie Crushers page because, you know, everyone, there is a Movie Crush fan page where we get most of our content from you guys for the minis. Then there's the Movie Crushers sub page, and our old friend Jill Hurley, one of the admins, set up a trope post, and there are 661 of these in here, Noel. So we're going to be doing these till the end of time.
I can't wait till the end of time.
And I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go through some of these randomly.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Okay, so we're going to start out with. Gabriel Cortez says this, another tried-and-true dialogue trope. Person number one and person number two just concluded a conversation of significance. Person one starts walking away, and their back is turned to person two. Person two says, "What, Noel?" Do you get the setup?
Yeah. Oh, is there more?
You and I are talking.
Yeah.
We're having a conversation.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, that's it. And I go to walk away. I have my back to you. And then what do you yell out?
What, Chuck?
No, you yell out, oh, one last thing.
Oh, you mean like the Columbo thing, like a Columbo setup.
Well, what's the Columbo setup?
Well, that's the one where you're Columbo, first of all,
okay.
And you're interviewing a suspect at a crime scene, and you're acting a little happy, you know, like a little doofy or whatever, and then you walk away,
okay,
and then you turn around and you say, just one last thing, and that's the thing that's the kicker. That's the real nail in the coffin.
Well, I don't think this is quite the Columbo setup.
Okay.
This is slightly different. This is the Beretta setup.
Got it.
Person one walks away. My back is turned. One last thing, and then I turn around, yes, Noel, and you go, give him hell, or give something him. Like
oh,
that.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
That
so this
setup.
Is like, I get you. So this is like a pre-ass-kicking kind of, you're like, you know.
Yeah, before the big
The big raid, showdown.
The big showdown.
Yeah. Give him hell.
I was very clumsy through that.
I like it.
That's my fault.
No, I like it. It's sort of like the Columbo, I don't know, I would combine those tropes
into one mega trope.
Mega trope.
The Beretta Columbo trope.
Why Beretta? What does that mean?
Beretta was another cop show
from
the 70s.
Okay.
Beretta.
Give him hell.
Sam Comer, this is, we may have covered this one. It's a good one, though. The old bulletproof vest, you don't know they're wearing it until they reveal at the end of the film.
We have definitely covered this
one. That they've been shot. Good one, Sam.
Because another good one is the one where it's not even a bulletproof vest. I'm having deja vu right now because there's some thing that was gifted to the person that's made of metal.
The cigarette case.
And it's in their front pocket. And then it turns out that was enough to stop a bullet.
The flask.
Of the flask.
Ooh, it should be a flask because what I have not seen is the flask in the front pocket and you get shot and bourbon splurts out.
It just starts leaking out.
Instead of blood.
Like you're lactating bourbon or something. Mm. That's gross.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. No, I like it. It's a good one.
Joshua Inman says this. Saw this one on The Haunting of Hill House. The scary ghost is actually trying to warn you. Is that a trope?
Ah, sure.
All right.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Now, I mean, I'm trying to think of another example. Well, I mean, you know, okay. Hey, guys. Spoiler alert for The Sixth Sense. Right now, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the ghosts are kind of, they're not bad ghosts. They're sort of like trying to warn the kid or protect him in some way, right?
They're friendly ghosts.
They're friendly ghosts, but ghosts just can't help it that they're like dead and creepy looking and have like ooze coming out of their eye holes and stuff. They can't help that. That's just how they are.
No, I feel bad for the oozy, helpful ghosts.
Yes. Because that's the thing. They're constantly being misunderstood. People constantly. Are constantly getting spooked and running away. And like, I was just trying to tell you, you got to tie your shoe or you're going to trip down those stairs and end up like me.
You just described my life, Noel.
I know.
I'm the oozy misunderstood,
yeah.
Scary ghost.
I know. People see you come and they're like, whoa. No, that's not true, Chuck. That's not true.
Here we go. Tony Nadzan says this. I really hate this trope. Someone who is really hungry after some ordeal can't eat in a normal fashion afterward. They shove entire sandwiches in their mouth and tear through their food like an animal.
That's very true.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also the same trope that applies to when a sort of a young, helpless waif is rescued from the streets,
sure,
covered in dirt and stuff, and is given a nice meal, and then they wolf it down, you know, like with gusto. Yeah.
People, I'm seeing a lot of folks on this list that are grayed out as not members of the Movie Crushers anymore. And so what's going on, everyone? Why are you leaving?
They either left or they were kicked.
I don't think these people are kicked. These look like very nice people.
Okay. Well, what gives?
I don't know. Maybe they logged on to post their trope. They were bombarded with crushing spam, movie crushing spam, which doesn't happen, by the way. Patrick Gorman, our old pal here, says the backwards save the cat moment. Hero tries to save the villain in their final moments. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a good one. Last Crusade, Return of the Jedi, he mentions. Those are all pretty on point, I would say. Let me see here. Alyssa Hinton, every chase scene ever, running with gun in hand when it makes more sense to stop and shoot. That's true. I mean, that bullet is a lot faster than you are.
That's right.
So why run another 14 feet? Just pull and shoot. I'm against guns, though, so.
Really? You're sort of a MacGyver-esque figure.
No, I just mean in life.
You just like to use your surroundings, you know, to stitch together some sort of brilliant booby trap.
That's right.
That's how you would deal with a situation like that.
Jeff Noel.
Hmm.
Not Jeff Noel.
Man after my own. Mispronounced heart.
It's Jeff Noel.
How do you know?
Back and forth.
How do you know? Oh, he had a back and forth.
Yeah, I mispronounced his name like 8 times a couple of
times. Aha, aha.
And he added an umlaut to his name to help me out.
I used to do that for fun when I was a kid because I thought it looked more goth, a little more moody. Even though I still didn't pronounce it Noel.
That really says a lot about young Noel.
I know, that's true.
Young Noel.
I used to wear a dog collar and black fingernail polish.
Did you?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, Noel.
I wore it to my prom.
Put that picture up. Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any?
I probably do.
All right, dig some up. We'll post those.
I actually have one. I think I told you I was in a band with the guitar player for Lady Antebellum, which is this like, you know, uber famous, popular crossover country band. There's a picture of us, and they're like the most white bread American good old boys with like polos and, you know, visors and stuff and like shorts, and I'm sitting in the front wearing a Smashing Pumpkin shirt with black, jet black long hair and black fingernail polish, looking like a real tool.
Yeah. No, I bet you were cool. You know, Lady Antebellum. Jeff Noel. Shit.
It's okay, man.
Says, a character turns on the television, the news, with a story that directly affects them starts right at that moment. I think we've mocked that one before. That's what's great about these tropes, man. They are all over the place. I still think we should do a troll a trope origin bit where see if we can get people to track down the very first time some of these famous tropes have been used. Deb Sanders says, I like the Trail of Rose Petals trope for comic effect in I, Tonya. That shot of the rose petals along the filthy shag carpet slays me every time. That was funny. That was taking the piss out of a trope. Have you ever laid down a petal of or a pathway of rose petals for a lady?
I mean, one time I left myself a path of rose petals just so I could find my way home from the store.
Okay. It led to the toilet.
No. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's how I map my daily routine.
Yeah. With rose petals.
With rose petals. But here's the thing. They start looking really gross after a very short amount of time.
Yeah. What am I going to do? Do I need to take a shit? Oh, yeah. Wait. Let me just follow
the rose petals. Yeah. No, oh, it's boy. True.
All right. We'll do one more here because we've been goofing off too much. Angela Tung says, this is a trope from Captain Marvel. So everybody, this is a spoiler. Give me like 20 seconds to read this if you don't want to be spoiled. This might have been mentioned before, but Captain Marvel reminded me, when the opponent is all ready to fight and the hero defeats them with one blast. See also Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indy goes up against the guy with the sword. Yeah, they totally gank that from Raiders, but it's a great bit.
It's a great bit, too, because the character is so self-righteous and he's, like, trying really hard to, like, pull a psychological jujitsu move and, like, you know, and she just, and you think she's going to go for it.
Yeah.
And the thing he's asking her to do doesn't make any sense for her to do in her position.
Yeah.
So why should she, you know, not use her powers? And so she just gives him a nice blast to the chest. It's great. I liked it.
It's a good moment.
It was a good laugh moment, too.
Agreed. All right, Noel, we're going to move on to a social studies.
Social Studies on Movie Crush.
I thought about making this its own thing because I asked people, what is your favorite debut performance of all time? And so not breakout role, and TV doesn't count. So I mean legit very first movie acting role as the greatest debut performance.
The greatest.
Well, in their mind, you know, in your
interesting.
Opinion.
I want to hear some.
Yeah, and here's the thing, everyone. I did not go through and double-check all these. So I'm just going to read them, and if you're wrong, and we know it.
You didn't put our team of fact-checkers on it, Chuck?
Chop, chop, everyone.
Come on.
So if we realize that that's not the first movie for sure, without looking up, then you're going to get made fun of. If we don't know, then you're going to get away with it. So we're going to start with Mayan Bekar, Natalie Portman in Leon the Professional. Yeah, man. Boy, she was good in that role.
Oh, yeah. I saw that in the theaters, too, when I was age appropriate to have a crush on Natalie Portman, like in that movie.
Uh-huh.
Because I was visiting my mom in New York, and I went and saw it. And I was not old enough to see that movie, but for some reason I saw it. And it was so good.
Good
that
flick.
Movie really holds up.
So Michael Green says, hands down, Alan Rickman in Die Hard. I did not know that that was his debut film.
Surely not.
Surely not.
Surely not.
Michael Green, sir. I might take issue with that, but I might be wrong. Are you looking it up?
I am looking it up.
All right. Todd Plunkett says...
No, man. He was in stuff in the 70s. No, okay. You know what? It's his second credited role. His first was Romeo and Juliet in 1978 as Tybalt. And then his second role was in 88, 10 years later in Die Hard.
Wow.
So I'm going to give it to him. I've got to give it to him. Sorry for being incredulous.
What the hell did he do for 10 years? Stage, I bet?
That must be it. He must have done exclusively stage, and this Romeo and Juliet was probably a film adaptation
right.
of a stage version.
Because
I've never heard of this.
Oh, you're so good.
Very good.
Todd Plucknett. Says, got to be Ed Norton in Primal Fear. Did you ever see that?
It's a BBC television production of a
Dude,
Shakespeare.
Look at you. Yeah. You nailed it.
Did I see Primal? Yeah. Oh, God, yes. And that's accurate. That
yeah.
is fantastic.
I mean, what a great role and one of the great, like,
such a juicy, twisty role. Yeah, really, really great performance.
I love that. Norton's not around as much anymore.
He's not. I think
I miss
he's,
him.
He's apparently a real prick.
Well, there are articles about why he went away.
I know. He was in Birdman, which I haven't seen, but I everyone loves it so much, and there's no reason I shouldn't have seen it. Birdman
with Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton.
Dude, you would love that.
I know I would. It seems very, like, psychedelic and meta and weird. Like, it makes me think, like, it would be kind of like a Charlie Kaufman movie in some ways.
Mm.
No? Maybe not.
It's definitely not psychedelic.
No?
You throw that word around, though. I don't even know if you know what that means.
I don't think that word means what you think it means. Listen, let me explain.
Let me tell you about psychedelic.
No, I just mean it's heady, and it's like kind of like messing with the form and kind of like, you know, like it's like, isn't there some meta-ness in that movie? I think there is. And like,
I think the word you're looking for, Noel, is unconventional narrative.
Oh, Chuck.
Not meta.
Let me use my words.
Anthony Noir says, Jason Schwartzman in Rushmore. Couldn't believe that was his first film. Yeah, man, I'm with you there. Jason Schwartzman was great. Laura Romaine says, River Phoenix and Stand By Me. Yeah, was that his first movie? I think Explorers was before that. Was he in Explorers?
I don't know, Explorers.
Oh, that was the young Ethan Hawke kids build a spaceship in their garage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, River Phoenix was in that. Huh. And I think that was before Stand By Me. Although, 1985.
Yeah. Was that around the same time they made Space Camp? Remember Space Camp?
Oh, yeah, we've talked Space
Camp. I know, but wasn't that around the same time? It feels like there was a rash of kids' space movies around that time.
Stand By Me was 1 year later.
Interesting.
All right, we're going to have to give you a little shit for that one. Sorry. You missed it by 1 year. But who knows? Maybe he shot Stand By Me first.
That's a good, you know, that's a good point. You never think about that because maybe he kind of stacked them up in terms of production, like one after the other, and then one got released first. Who knows?
Our old buddy Vanessa Lopez says, Dev Patel in Slumdog Millionaire. Love that movie.
It's really good.
So good. So good. What a...
So good. Sure, I got to say, though, it doesn't hold a candle to his performance in The Last Airbender.
Did you see that?
I saw enough of it to know that it was really, really troublingly bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even... I wouldn't even watch the trailer for that movie, Noel. That's how much contempt I have. Our old pal Vanessa Cashman says, Natalie Portman, of course, a professional. Yeah, I know we've said that, but I like to give Vanessa her due. Aaron Cooper, The Coop. Val Kilmer in Top Secret. That was, was that his first role? That was great. Val Kilmer, you know, he's coming to Atlanta for Comic-Con. I'm trying to get him on the show.
He seems like a wacky, interesting guy.
Yeah, he, you know, he had cancer. It was very sad.
I did not know that.
He laid low for quite a few years, and there was a lot of speculation on what was going on. And he had the throat cancer.
I didn't know that.
And went through some rough stuff. But I think he's doing better now. And he's going to be in the Top Gun movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember the cat from
the
Captain Marvel?
Oh.
Was his name Goose?
Well, oh, sure.
It was an Air Force joke, right? It was like
Top Gun ref?
Yeah.
I bet you that's exactly what it was.
Never seen it, but I know Goose dies.
In Top Gun?
Yeah, doesn't he? Yeah. Isn't that a whole thing? Doesn't he go, Goose?
Was Goose the what's his face?
Val Kilmer.
No. Kilmer didn't die.
Who plays Goose?
Goose was what's his name? Anthony Edwards. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Goose died.
Sorry, guys.
He bonked his head.
Aww.
And died.
Poor Goose.
All right. Rob Esposito says Drew Barrymore in E.T. She was great. Boy, Spielberg really had a way with directing kids. Still does.
He did. And if we're talking about that kind of stuff, what's her name? Anna Paquin in The Piano.
Yeah. She got nominated
I think she won. I think she won an Oscar.
Oh, did she?
I think she did.
Boy, she was great. That was such a good movie. Greta Koning, our old pal, says Jacob Tremblay in Room.
Is that the kid?
Yeah, man.
I didn't see it.
That was good. It's a tough movie.
That's what I'm saying. It seemed a little heavy for me.
Yeah, it is not light.
Yeah.
I read the book, too. It's good stuff. Dylan Smith says, Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls. I'm with you there, man. I love Dreamgirls. That's a great movie. Have you seen that?
I have not.
It's really good.
It's a musical, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The music is great. It's just a great story. It's all awesome.
Cool.
Eddie Murphy just destroys it.
I will add it to my list.
He's so, so good. As are all the fine actors in that film. Really good stuff. Lisa Teixeira, our old buddy, says Elsie Fisher in Eighth Grade or Julie Andrews in Mary Poppins. I didn't know that that was her first film. But someone else said that. Mike Dobbs said Julie Andrews in Mary Poppins. So I guess
yeah,
so.
I watched that pretty recently, and she does seem very, very young.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really
well, a lot of people here now. Dawn Morris, she's getting a lot of love.
Got it.
She should. Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween, Greg Bunker, Bunker Johns. Yeah, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween. I saw it, you know, this past Halloween. Might make that a ritual. Haley Steinfeld in True Grit from Mark Galaski. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Tim Curry is Dr. Frankenfurter. He was on TV prior, but that was his first film, says Joe Smith.
Well, it has certainly stood the test of time in terms of being beloved and held up there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do a couple of more. Let's go with Marissa Hackel, Helena Bonham Carter in A Room with a View. Very good movie. Our old friend, Stellan Carlson. Gina Davis in Tootsie. Yeah.
That's the one. That's with Dustin Hoffman, right? Where he plays a
plays a lady.
A lady.
He's a down and out actor who auditions for a part of a woman on a soap opera because he can't get acting roles.
So it's like Mrs. Doubtfire, kind of.
It's better.
Better, but it's a similar conceit.
Yes.
With Mrs. Doubtfire, he's sort of trying to hang out with his kids. So he
But in Tootsie, he's just trying to get acting roles.
Housekeeper. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we'll do one more here. Brandy McDonald says ScarJo and The Horse Whisperer. I never saw that film.
But, it's coming back to me. Yeah.
She was, she's great.
I liked her a lot in Ghost World. And it was interesting because her co-star in that, who was in American Beauty, Thora Birch, who I had a huge crush on in those days, she kind of fizzled. Her career sort of went away. And, ScarJo just kind of
exploded.
Had this meteoric rise.
Yeah. Black Widow?
Black Widow. She's Black Widow. Yep.
I think they're doing a Black Widow standalone, right?
I think they're going to make it rated R, too, I think I read.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that means. Just more ass-kicking?
I think so. I think they tested it with Deadpool, and it worked twice, so I think they're not afraid to do it
anymore. Go there?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. All right, we're going to finish up with a very quick stream this segment. I just want to check in and let everyone know that the new season of High Maintenance is great. I know that had Ben Sinclair on. I've been championing that show from day one, but I'm finally have gotten into season three, and it's just so great, man. It's just the show. It was voted show most likely for Noel to love that he refuses to watch.
I don't refuse. I don't refuse, Chuck. You know what I have been watching, though, I watched a little bit of that show, Pen 15. Have you seen this?
I have not.
On
is it
Hulu?
Paul here said it's like the best show on TV right
awesome.
Now.
Awesome. It's really funny.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's these two, 30-something-year-old actresses or comedians who wrote the show, whose names escape me at the moment, but they play middle school girls, and they just disappear into the roles. It is not—
Is that the thing? Because— That's very interesting.
It doesn't call attention to itself at all. Like, they really look the part, and they're also both kind of small, so it really works. It's wild how much it works.
Our buddy John Hodgman, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I don't think he will. He wrote a TV pilot a few years ago on that conceit that he would play himself as a 12-year-old. And interacting with other 12-year-olds. And it was really good. And it did not get produced, 99% of pilots for 1,000 reasons. But it was awesome. And then when I heard of this, I was like, wait a minute. That's Hodgman's bit.
I think the thing, too, is that it's two young, female characters in middle school. And it deals with a lot of, the sexual awakening stuff and, sense of self. But it's also in this really lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek kind of way. But it's very real and spot on in terms of, how awkward and terrible middle school is. And, it even has, a group of young boys trying to watch the Spice Channel through the, the scrambled things and trying to say, hey, look, it's a boob, And I did that. It's very good. I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
If you want to stream something.
We laughed about that on the show before. Those hormones get going when you're 12 and 13, man.
You forget that it was that early.
Yeah. It's just you don't even know what's going on.
Nope.
Trying to, flying blind, trying to figure it all out.
Exactly.
Very fun, awkward years for film and TV. High Maintenance. Check it out. Check it out, check it out. And then Better Things, big shout out to Bex Bloomfield. So she's a longtime listener of Stuff You Should Know. And email friend that I've actually met finally in New Zealand, and she reminded me that Better Things was out. And so Emily and I have been watching that every night. We're through like 4 episodes now of the new season. And that show is just – did you watch Better Things? Pamela Adlon's show with the three daughters?
No, I'm not even aware of it, that it existed. No.
Yeah, this is season either 3 or 4. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the only show on TV that has – where a woman has directed like every episode.
Cool.
Like she's fully running that show over there.
She's incredibly talented.
And it's so good, man. It's so real and so sweet and heartwarming and awkward and awful at times. And this season so far, she's sort of like a lot of the stuff has been about her daughters and their relationship. And that obviously carries through this season. But she's really going into what it means to be a woman of her age mm-hmm. and the hormonal and physical changes happening when you're in your like late 40s or early 50s as a woman. And perfect like comedic aplomb that she's known for. Really good shit.
Yeah, it's such a bummer. There's a bummer for many reasons, but I thought she was so good on the Louis C.K. show.
Yeah.
And I think she kind of – she didn't defend him exactly. I think she sort of – I don't remember exactly what her line was. It was certainly a little softer than some of the quote-unquote defenses of what that dude did.
It's one of her best friends and creative partner.
I know. It's got to be painful and difficult, but it's
painful
also –
painful and difficult.
It's also kind of like you didn't know, and there's even an episode where her character, who he kind of is crushing on, he gets a little sexually – pushy with her, let's say. And kind of like holds her against the wall, kind of,
I remember that episode.
I know. We talked about this, I think, and it's sort of like one of those things where you go back and read some bits that Cosby did, where he's talking about Spanish Fly, and you're kind of like, oh, it doesn't hold up so well. But but she's so good in that show, and that show was so gritty and like good and very real as well, and I thought her character was fantastic on that show. So,
well, he helped her get better things on TV through FX, and is an executive producer and wrote a bunch. Like he's not involved anymore on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, had to step away. He's still listed as an executive producer though. But she's fully like running the show on her own now.
Well, that's what we say. There's 3 seasons ish.
I think this is the 3rd, if I'm not mistaken.
I will check that out. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Oh man, it's great. All right, everyone, that's it. Those are our recs. Pen 13, High Maintenance, and Better Things. Stream all those on your telly.
Pen 15.
What did I say?
13.
Oh, this is
because it's penis. It's what you put on a calculator. You pen like. It,
oh,
it says
really?
Penis. Yeah.
I never knew that. Mm-hmm. Never spelled that one out.
Yeah, it's true.
Pen 13 would just be penib.
Yep.
All I ever did was the upside down boobless.
Boobs. Oh, boobless.
Yeah.
You took it a step further. I just did boobs.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. There was some dumb combination of things you would add and subtract. In the early 80s,
aha,
that would equal boobless.
You had a whole equation.
It was a whole equation.
That sounds delightful.
So dumb.
All right.
So dumb. All right, Noel. I wish we could go back and do a show as Young Chuck and Young Noel.
Well, you know, we're doing our best to relive those glory days.
That's right. As old men.
Best indeed.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Hmm?